Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, and God bless you. Thanks so much for taking a little bit of your precious time and joining Bobby and myself to look at the scriptures through Jewish eyes. And we've got so much to talk about today because we're right now in the middle of what I would call a post-conflict era. It's a season that is uncertain. We don't know whether or not the missiles will start flying again or whether the missiles will just be reduced, or we really do not know. But one thing we do know is that the Bible speaks about the future. And we're going to take a look at that today, and then hopefully we'll talk a little bit about how the Chosen People staff in Israel are responding to all of these incredible conflicts. So, Bobby, welcome.
Thank you, Mitch. Shalom to you. And again, shalom to all of our listeners and viewers. We're so grateful that you're joining us.
We are.
And yeah, I'm excited about this, Mitch, because it's I think it's incredibly relevant and important for us to be in the midst of so much confusion. And I mean, war is horrible. War is messy.
Always.
And in the midst of it, though, it's so important for us as followers of Yeshua, followers of Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, to look for answers. And I mean, the first place we should run to is the scriptures.
Absolutely. And we have almost 30 staff members in Israel.
We do.
And so, and a lot of them have young children. Mm-hmm. And so this is, we're going to talk about what they're doing and how God's working in their lives, but let's definitely begin with the scriptures. But I want to say one thing, and that is, we did a survey of how evangelicals view Israel and how they look at these various wars since October 7th,
mm-hmm.
and mostly the wars with Iran and then, of course, the Houthis and Hezbollah and, to some degree, Hamas. And so we did a survey in October 2025, and the results in so many ways have been startling.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is that about 70% of evangelical Christians, and when I say evangelical, they have said yes fervently to four critical points that were given to us by the National Association of Evangelicals about what it means to be an evangelical, starting with the exclusivity of salvation by faith through accepting Jesus as Savior,
mm-hmm.
a foundation of the Word of God as being unchanging and inerrant, and then a couple of other things, and one of which is the need to share the gospel with other people because of these beliefs. And so these are real evangelicals.
Yeah, like vetted, qualified.
These are like all y'all.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Marty Goetz would say that.
Yeah. And in Brooklyn, we would say all yous.
All yous, yeah. And so the number 70 plus percent means a lot to me. So it means that most real Christians support Israel. And now, what we do with our support and how we pray because of our support, these are all important factors. So we need to do something about our favorable view of Israel. But what was really astounding to me is we asked the question also, do you believe we're in the last days? A straightforward question. Most Christians know what we mean by that. Do you think Jesus is coming back soon? Do you think we're actually in the last days that's described in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Particularly passages like the Olivet Discourse,
right,
in Matthew 24.
Right.
And so the question was, do you believe we're in the last days? And the answer for most evangelicals, about, I would say, 68% was yes.
Wow.
Now, a lot of us do not want to say, we don't want to be date setters, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
No, yeah, never.
And we don't want to say this is exactly this or this is exactly that, because we're afraid to be wrong. We'd rather say that prophecy is fulfilled after it clearly happens, when Jesus is on the throne already, you know? But there are some things that are so obvious that you can't help but say, this is indicative of the last days. This is why I believe we're living in the shadow of the second coming of Yeshua, of Jesus the Messiah. And so one of the best places to look to discover where we might be, and then bring a look through today's events through biblical eyes. We have to look at things through the scriptures so that we can really understand where we are. So, Bobby, you love the book of Matthew. I happen to love the book of Matthew. I hope you love the book of Matthew.
Yeah. What's not to love?
What's not to love? Nice Jewish boy, right? And so what we're going to do is we're going to set the stage and then look at some of the specifics and look at some of these indicators as to where we are in God's prophetic timetable. So give us an intro to the what we call the Olivet Discourse.
Yeah, yeah. So this section of Matthew, chapters 23 through 25, but specifically 24 and 25, because that's where Yeshua really gets into, really just beautiful descriptions of the end times and what it's going to be like before he returns. This is placed in a section of Matthew that is very intentional. The way Matthew is structured, if I could bore you for a moment,
oh,
Mitch.
Oh, please bore me. If it's Bible boring, okay. I love it.
All right, good. You gave me permission. So the way Matthew is structured, there's an ebb and flow to Matthew. It goes back and forth between sections that talk about narrative, like, you know, the story, the action moving forward. And, you know, you'll cover a lot of time. Matthew covers a lot of time during those narrative sections. And then after the narrative section, you have a discourse where Matthew just focuses in on one particular moment in time where Yeshua gives like an extended teaching. And there are five of these discourses throughout the Gospel of Matthew. The first one is the Sermon on the Mount, right? The second one is in Matthew 10. The third one is in Matthew 13. The fourth one is in Matthew 18. And then the fifth and final one is the Olivet Discourse where we are right here.
May I interrupt quickly?
Please do.
Jesus was Jewish, right?
Very much so.
Okay, we established that. He probably read the Torah.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
He probably read the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy.
He sure did.
And how many discourses does Moses give to the Jewish people before they cross into the land?
Yeah, yeah. Five.
Cinco.
Right? Right.
That's my Spanish.
It was good. Okay. How about the Hebrew? So, Chamesh.
Chamesh. So you can't miss the parallel.
Yes.
Then between Deuteronomy and Matthew.
Yeah. Which again, that's just so typical for Matthew because, I mean, his gospel in particular is considered the most quote unquote Jewish
most
out of
Jewish,
all four.
Yeah.
I mean, that's debatable, but yeah, he just includes so much, so much like evidence for us and like these, I want to say Easter eggs, you know, but maybe that's not the best term to use.
No, they could be Passover eggs.
Passover eggs. just these indications that draw our minds back to these patterns and like prophetic nuggets that we have that tie into the Old Testament. So in Matthew, in the Olivet Discourse, chapters 23 through 25, again, we have this fifth and final discourse. So right after this section, we get to the last narrative section, which is, honestly, it's the crucifixion, it's the resurrection, and it's the Great Commission.
Yeah.
So that is kind of setting the stage here for the Olivet Discourse.
And brothers and sisters, as you're listening and as you're watching, being able to think your way through the structure of a book of the Bible is such an important Bible study tool. Here's how you find the structure. Read it 10 times, each time through in one sitting. Read it 10 times, then jot down what you think the major sections of the book are. And you are probably going to be very close to what even the most experts among the experts, even beyond Bobby, seriously, Bob.
Wow, that's not hard to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the experts of the experts would think about the scriptures. And so, okay, so we have the structure down. That's helpful, Bobby.
Yeah.
It's very helpful.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if we consider this is Matthew's presentation of Yeshua's final extended teaching to his disciples.
Yeah.
Like, we should pay attention to this.
And it was precipitated by a question.
Yes. Yes. So at the beginning of chapter 24 in particular, this is right after chapter 23, right? Obviously. But in chapter 23, we find Yeshua just issuing this stern, really harsh series of rebukes against the scribes and the Pharisees and, like, you know, the experts in the word of God in that day, because they had missed the time of their visitation. They weren't seeing clearly that he is indeed the Messiah. So after this rebuke, and the way he ends the rebuke is with this lament over Jerusalem, where he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I've wanted to gather you together like a hen, the mother hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling," right? And then he says, "You won't see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai." Yeah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then we come to chapter 24, where it says this: Yeshua left the temple area and he was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to point out the temple buildings to him. But he responded and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." Verse 3, and as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. Now, Mitch, I know you've been to the Mount of Olives many times.
I have. I have never ridden the donkey that sits on the Mount of Olives, but I have bought some tourist stuff from the guys selling it who are leading the donkey around. You know, if you've never been there, you'll know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're on the Mount of Olives, you've got a perfect view of Mount Zion, right, where the temple stood.
Eastern Gate.
The Eastern Gate as well. Which again is so significant when it comes to future prophecy that is still yet to be fulfilled. So he's sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately. Okay, so this is just the 12 now coming to Yeshua privately. And they said to him, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?"
Yeah, I mean, the Old Testament doesn't get enough notoriety when it comes to what it has to say about the end times. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually we turn to the book of Revelation, we turn to a number of chapters like the Olivet Discourse in the New Testament. But remember, this is all built upon Old Testament expectation.
Exactly.
And so you find that in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and in Daniel.
Yeah. Zechariah.
And Zechariah, and also actually in the Gospel according to Moses, in Deuteronomy, you find a lot of Old Testament foundations that Jesus is now speaking to, and he's expecting his disciples to be somewhat familiar with these things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So yeah. Take us further.
All right, and then verse 4, he begins to respond, right? And Yeshua answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will mislead many people. And you," and Mitch, I think verse 6 here, this is where we are kind of, our ears perk up a little bit.
We're right in the middle of it.
"And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end."
Okay, stop there for a second. Now, these are all Swedish people or Italians, right?
Well, not quite.
Not quite.
Not quite,
okay. So this is a Jewish context.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, they could not turn on Fox News nor CNN or get any kind of video stream.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was word of mouth. There were no newspapers. And so how would they even hear of wars and rumors of wars outside of Israel? The point being, I think we have to identify the context here, that the primary focus of his statement is Jewish in character. It's Israeli in character. So Jesus is saying, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, he's talking about those wars and rumors of wars being in Israel, probably. How would they hear of something else? Yeah, so I think it's very important to see the Jewish context of Matthew 24.
This is the book of the generation of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Those words from the Gospel of Matthew spoke to Rabbi Leopold Cohn's soul. but they also troubled him. Believing that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, he wondered how he could join a community of people so hostile to those of his own flesh and blood. The answer came to him from the book of Malachi, and he realized he could not keep this news to himself. To learn more about Rabbi Leopold Cohn's story and Chosen People Ministries, connect with us today at chosenpeople.com/radio.
So if we keep reading in verse 7, it says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains."
Okay, so I have a question about the question. Mm-hmm. Yeshua, like a rabbi, was sitting as an authoritative rabbi, not sitting in the seat of Moses, but sitting. That's a rabbinic posture for teaching. They say to him, "Rabbi, basically, dispense your wisdom, interpret the Old Testament for us, okay? When will these things be? The end times." Mm-hmm. Question number one. "And what will be the sign of your coming?" Question number two. "And the end of the age?" Question number three.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, in this passage, we actually have three important questions, but we tend to lump them together, don't we?
Right.
And they are interrelated, but they are different questions. One has to do with the environment, so to speak. The second one has to do with a sign and whatever that sign's going to be. And the third has to do, and the sign of the coming of the Messiah. And the third will be of the end of the age. Do you realize here, he knows he's the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
His disciples sort of know he's the Messiah, but they don't know about his resurrection. They don't know about the second coming. They're just very foggy about these things. But Jesus almost says it plainly. What will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? So they're still wondering about whether or not he's the Messiah, because the Messiah, who's expected at the end of the age?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they thought they were at the end of the age? Maybe not. Maybe not. So when in answering this, I find it funny. Jesus actually accepts their lack of understanding. And instead of referring to when the Messiah is coming the first time, what does he do?
He talks about the second coming. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think they're getting it.
Right, right.
So Jesus, they're thinking about what will be the sign of your coming or this messianic coming. You know, they're confused. And Jesus, of course, says, well, here are the signs, and it's all about the second coming. So he's implying his death and resurrection for sin and redemption, but without actually spilling the beans at this point. He had spilled it somewhat in Matthew 16. You know, "Get thee behind me, mm-hmm. Peter. The Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and face the mob," so
sure.
to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we see the implicit understanding, not explicit, that these signs will be of his second coming,
mm-hmm.
not of his first coming.
Yeah, I think that's important. And again, like when we look at the content of his response, he starts to highlight just unrest, global unrest, right? Wars, rumors of wars, nations rising up against nations, kingdom against kingdom, not only conflict within mankind, but also like natural disasters as well, earthquakes and famines and all of this. And I think what's also important for us to see here is his instructions to his disciples on how they are to respond to these things. He's basically saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of these things. And when we keep reading, okay, you go down to verse 9 all the way through verse 14, he's again like talking about how tumultuous it's going to be, not just in the world and among nation and nation, but for the disciples, his followers in particular. He's saying, it's not going to be easy. You're going to be hated by all nations because of my name. Like, this is not going to be an easy road by any means.
And he would not be there in person to hold their hands, so to speak. But I do want you to know, and we'll continue this study next week, but I do want you to know that the Chosen People staff in Israel know that the Lord has been with them by His Spirit. So we call it Jesus in the bomb shelter, you know, because the Lord has been with them all the way through that and protected our staff and their kids and their family. And so we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening in Israel and how people are responding to these difficult days during the end times. And Bobby's going to let you know exactly where we are in the end times and how many days you have left. Okay?
Just let the record show, I will not be doing that.
But you'll come back next week anyway. God bless you. Shalom. Thank you for being with us.
For 128 years, Chosen People Ministries has been blessed with the opportunity to speak all across the world. And many of our missionaries were pastors or messianic leaders before partnering with us. So if you'd like to learn more about the biblical feasts, or if you'd like to go deeper in your understanding of the Jewish roots of our faith, then be sure to ask us how you can book a speaker for the holidays. Our presentations will shed light on topics such as the fall festivals, Advent, and Hanukkah. We even have a very special presentation called Christmas Through Jewish Eyes. Enhance the last half of the year by exploring biblical prophecy in a whole new way by booking a Chosen People Ministry speaker for any of our presentations today. Just go online to chosenpeople.com/radio or learn more when you call us. Our friendly team members would love to hear from you. And you can call us at 888-293-7482. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And as we close things out, we just want to invite you to visit our website, chosenpeople.com/radio. And when you do, you can learn more about this program and learn more about Chosen People Ministries and what we're about, where we're located, the kinds of things that we're doing. There's so many good resources and such good content there for you to check out. In addition to that, we would love to hear from you. So please send us an email. If you have any kind of questions or comments, you can send us an email. Any complaints or gripes, make sure you address it to Mitch directly.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're very welcome, Mitch. And our email address, it's radio@chosenpeople.com. You can also call us and leave a voicemail. And we listen to those voicemails, and we, on this program, we like to interact with them even. So the phone number to call is 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. Now, when you visit our website, chosenpeople.com/radio, there's also a free gift that we have for you. This is a new book by a great friend of our ministry, Dr. Michael Rydelnik, and the book is called How Should Christians Think About Israel? It's an incredibly relevant book for this very season in which we live. And it will answer all of the good questions, the important questions that you might have concerning Israel, the Jewish people, and how believers, how followers of Jesus are to interact and understand all of these questions. So please be sure to visit us. And again, we thank you so much. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you. And actually, we're going to close out our time now with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisem lecha shalom V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.